Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is an absolutely gorgeous Wednesday evening here in Lansing, 75 degrees. Thank you for joining us. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. On today's show, township officials from around the state congregating in Lansing today, holding a first ever event. But what is it that they want state lawmakers to do for them? And are they any worse off than the cities here in Michigan? I'll ask one of those officials. And if you think salt is bad for you and you should limit your salt intake, you may be wrong. And U.S. medical professionals could be completely overemphasizing its danger. I'll be joined by a researcher who says there's a lot of evidence out there against the idea that salt in your diet is a bad thing. But first, we got both sides of the Wisconsin recall election yesterday before the vote, but now that Governor Scott Walker won in such a dominating fashion, what does that mean for Michigan's public unions, and could private unions, or should they, start worrying also? To talk about that, I'm joined by Bill Ballinger. He's a longtime political analyst, former state representative and senator, and editor of Inside Michigan Politics, Michigan's leading political newsletter. You can find him online at InsideMichiganPolitics.com. Bill, thank you so much for joining us on WILS this evening.
My pleasure, Michael.
So, okay, it's official now. Voters in Wisconsin said yesterday that they fully support ending this public bargaining for public unions, or that is collective bargaining for public unions. So tell me, what is the likelihood that we could see the same kind of move made here in Lansing while Governor Snyder is in office?
Well, the unions in Michigan have been very nervous all along, regardless of what was going to happen in Wisconsin, the results of which we now know, that somehow, despite the fact that Governor Snyder has said he doesn't want to make Michigan a right-to-work state, which would basically circumscribe the power of unions in Michigan, that somehow the legislature is going to send him a bill to do exactly that, make Michigan a right-to-work state, and that he'll sign it. So they've mounted a petition drive. And right now, Michael, while we talk, they're out collecting signatures to try and get this on the ballot in November to write it into the Constitution that you cannot ban collective bargaining in Michigan, that it's got to be part of the labor management process. So, you know, there are a lot of unanswered questions right now in Michigan.
Do you think the public, even here in Michigan, does view public unions very differently than private unions and may support on the whole eliminating collective bargaining for our public unions?
Well, again, let me just say this. When you say public unions, there's really no such thing as a public union versus a private union. The United Auto Workers, which we think of as a private sector union, right? They represent auto workers in the private sector. Guess what? They have got more public employees that they represent right now than they do private sector employees. So these unions represent both public and private sector employees. I think what you're asking is, do the people of Michigan want to crack down not so much on public sector unions, although that would be part of it, but public sector employees? Do we believe that the benefits that public sector employees, state workers, local and municipal and township employees, their benefits, health care, salaries are too generous compared to those in the private sector, and should they be cut back? That's the real issue. So far, Governor Snyder has said there is some reason to believe that that is true, just as it is in Wisconsin, but I don't want to make Michigan a right-to-work state to correct that. I want to do it slowly but surely in different ways. The unions don't want to see that happen at all, obviously.
But, you know, public sector workers have said consistently that they have already made hundreds of millions of dollars in concessions, and they can continue to do so, and there's really no reason to not do that at the bargaining table. All those things, are they essentially true?
What you mean, is what they say true?
In a sense that there's...
Well, look, they have made concessions. Yeah, there's no question. They have made some concessions in the face of fiscal reality, which has intruded on their success that they've achieved over the last several decades in building up their benefit system. But guess what? You know, most people in Michigan, and certainly the Snyder administration and the Republicans who control the legislature, believe they haven't given up enough. Yeah, they've given up some things. They've given some concessions, but not enough. So that's the real issue.
Is your view that one side is more reasonable than the other? Do you think the unions are right to say that any idea of a right to work is outrageous, considering the fact that they have been very agreeable to the cuts that have already happened to them?
Well, let's back up here a little bit. They haven't been very agreeable. They have, you know, basically reluctantly agreed that they have to accept some cuts to their benefits and everything, but the Republicans are arguing it shouldn't be like pulling teeth to get these people to realize that their benefit system is way better than what the private sector has, and the private sector workers in Michigan are increasingly becoming aware that public sector union employees have better wage and benefit packages than they do, and it's time to cut those back. So look, all I'm saying is Rick Snyder, as opposed to John Kasich in Ohio or Scott Walker in Wisconsin, has not been in your face, and he's not been confrontational, and he hasn't been threatening, and he hasn't said to unions, whether they represent public or private employees, you know, we're going to make Michigan a right-to-work state. We're going to stop your collective bargaining completely. You're not going to have any rights at all. He hasn't said that.
Although he doesn't seem to approach any issue quite like that, right? Ultimately, he appears reasonable and calm in his decisions, but he does make decisions that are sometimes unpopular.
That's right. Well, they're unpopular, particularly with the unions, who get a little nervous. They hear all this happy talk from Rick Snyder that you point out, but they say, wait a second, we see some of the policies that are being enacted by Rick Snyder and the Republicans are actually very similar to those in Wisconsin and Ohio. Even though he talks a better game, the same result is happening, and we don't like it. So, you know, again, what we're really looking at here, Michael, is whether this issue gets on the ballot this fall, mm-hmm. and that's a discussion I don't think we have time for right now. You're probably just about exhausted your time with me already.
Well, not quite, Bill. I'm talking to Bill Ballinger. He is the editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Now, I do want to ask you, though, about what happened in Wisconsin in the sense that in terms of spending, Governor Walker outspent his Democratic rival by a 10-to-1 margin. In fact, his biggest backers
right.
were the Koch brothers,
yeah.
these billionaire brothers. Should middle and working class voters be concerned when they see these huge outside of the state interests getting involved in this kind of an issue and wonder about supporting that side?
In other words, you're asking me whether I think that rank and file, particularly swing or independent voters, don't like the idea of outside money or big money buying elections, and they're going to react in a negative way to that and support the other side. Is that what you're asking me?
Essentially, I mean,
yeah.
should it concern
well,
them?
It could be, but again, that hasn't happened here in Michigan. That's what happened in Wisconsin. And look, we can talk about this for a long time, but got to remember, the conservatives and the Koch brothers and the Republicans didn't pick this fight, at least as far as it's being a ballot issue. When you try and recall a governor, that's an extreme step to take, really extreme. There have been only two governors in the entire history of the United States recalled, and this was an attempt to recall a third, and it's the first one ever that was unsuccessful. So, you know, the unions brought on this fight. They asked for it. They wanted this on the ballot. And once you do this and you get it on the ballot, you can't whine and cry and moan later mm-hmm. that the other side isn't going to do everything it can to beat it back. And if one of the ways they do that is with money, they've got to expect that that could have been one of the possibilities all the way along. Certainly. What did they expect?
And quite a lot of money. I do want to ask you, though, because we saw the emergency manager elimination ballot proposal. That got knocked down, did not make it to the ballot. I mean, could we see the very same thing happen to this initiative to ban right to work here in Michigan?
Well, I mean, that's possible. Now, wait a second. The emergency financial manager hasn't been finally dismissed. It is, at this point, it's still in the courts. So we don't know whether it's going to be on the ballot or not. You know, Michael, there could be 11 ballot proposals on this November. That'll be the highest number since 1978. Right now, we're not going to know, I got to tell you, for another month until mid-July, and it could drag on even past that, how many of these proposals are going to be on the ballot, including collective bargaining in the Constitution, including emergency financial manager, and nine others, including casinos, medical marijuana, mm-hmm. You name it.
Does this result that we saw yesterday in Wisconsin, does that speak more broadly, do you think, to how out of step the unions now are with the general public, both in Wisconsin and here in Michigan?
I think the unions in Wisconsin in particular made a bad mistake in choosing to pursue this particular remedy to what they thought was an outrageous action by the governor and the legislature last year. And the polls in Wisconsin, and this is very important, show 60% of the people there thought this should never have been on the ballot. There should not have been a recall. You don't recall people on a policy difference. You elect your governor and your legislature, you let them govern for 2 years. If you don't like what they're doing, you throw them out in the next election. You don't recall people. If you did that, heck, we'd have a recall every 6 months. We got 50 different states. You'd have 100 recall elections going on all over the country. It's absurd.
One last thing, in the big picture, is the clock ticking down on the unions? Do you think it's just a matter of time, ultimately, that Wisconsin will, most states will become right-to-work states, and its union power is simply, at this point, on its way out?
You know, I think it's too early to say that. I think the unions have got to rethink their modus operandi. That means their way of operating. Instead of being confrontational and basically saying, you know, you either leave everything in place just the way it's been for the last half century, or we're going to fight you tooth and nail, that's a loser. And I think the result in Wisconsin shows that it's a losing approach to take. They have simply got to reinvent themselves. They have got to reposition their reason for being. I think they have a very useful purpose, but they can't dictate anymore and basically threaten and cajole units of government into giving them benefits that the taxpayers have to subsidize
I do want to ask you just one last thing, because it seems like on the other side of the unions, the effort is to destroy them. Is that not the case, that those that are opposing the unions on the whole want them completely out of the picture?
There is always going to be an element of the business community, and remember, the Republican Party is the party of business more than anything else, that would be very happy to see unions go away. They never wanted unions in the first place. So you're absolutely right. The real issue is, does the Republican Party and the conservatives believe that unions should just be completely abolished, or do they believe that unions should begin operating in a more reasonable way?
And which of those do you think is the truth?
What do you mean, the truth?
Do you think that they feel that the unions should
be abolished?
The Republican leadership on the whole. Do you think that they really do?
Well, I think the Republican leadership would be perfectly comfortable having unions continue to exist, if that's what you're asking me. But I think that the idea that the unions can cajole and browbeat public employers, whether they're local units of government or whatever, into giving them benefits that the taxpayers and state and local budgets cannot afford have got to end. It's got to stop. And the unions have got to realize we're in a new day here. things have gotten out of control. The public opinion is turning against them. And if they want to continue to exist, then they've got to be realistic about
that. Well, it's certainly a new day after yesterday's vote. Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Bill, thank you so much for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure, Michael.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by the head of the Michigan Townships Association. They met here in Lansing today. What was it all about? We'll find out. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Boy, right.